Mr. Gray, reel 3. Take me through a typical day's training with the 70th Battalion at School Aycliffe, Mr. Gray.
Yes. We're running about 6 o'clock, that's all. We're running about 6. Up there by 8:30 in PT kit, in all weathers, for a jog. We run down your bed by 7, but washed, shaved, into the cook house for your breakfast. After 8 o'clock, there's no breakfast served. If you miss it, you've missed it. Yeah. You went down to the barracks again, to change into your denims, and you do exercises. Drill, rifle drill, you know, foot drill, and maybe go on a route march. Yeah. That was every day, and then nearly every day, route march. Dinner was 12 till 1 for dinner. The bottom period at 1 o'clock. Doing drills again, learning button training, some lucky guys learn how to drive, motor training, till 5. 5 o'clock you have your team in the old free for the evening, unless you're on duty, you say. Like come find a barracks or but you're always active, never allowed to sit down.
Were you being trained in depth, in a sense? Or were you trained as, say, for example, you were a rifleman, were you not?
Yes, I was a rifleman first, yeah.
So some of your riflemen, but did you go through all the various aspects of training?
Oh, yes.
Rifles,
yes,
mortars, and so on?
Yes, but we didn't get specialist weapons until we became the School of Infantry. And we moved to Barney Coffin. I mean, that's when we got specialist weapons. And as I say, in 1942, we had the MG-42. So they go to do one of the made, they must have made in England, but they put it in France. And this German thing, the fellow, who you saw Winston Churchill's 40 last, they carried 42. Yeah.
Were you being taught as part of your training what the German soldier was like, what their tactics were like and so on?
No, we never taught that at all. We weren't taught that the Hitler Youth were bigger, fitter and stronger than we were. We never taught that at all. We were taught that we were the elite. All the lies that were told, the propaganda and the lies, you know, I mean. Even Winston Churchill was the biggest liar of all, you see. You see, he'd be sent from the Duke of Marlborough. He's not remotely connected with the Duke of Marlborough. Not the slightest connection. But inspiring war leader, very inspirational war leader.
Were there other famous visitors coming to you?
There was a time at the Memory School of Infantry that these people called students, if you're going to measure upwards, right? You get 100 colonels 1 week for a season, so for a 5 week training with infantry. There'd be 100 major generals, you know, from the American Army too. But the most famous one I remember was a fellow called Donald Zeck, the cartoonist. And we had a motor instructor called Charlie Thackley, a Yorkshireman, called the Toilies, and a bit of a character. And Zeck, Dewey's cartoon. He was wonderful.
So you're training at School Aycliffe. Where was your training taking place? Obviously within the grounds of the school.
In the grounds of the hospital, yes.
And
on the football field.
The countryside round about?
That's right, just marked on these country lanes, you know, it's all disappeared now, under the plough.
You'd be very close then to the Royal Ordnance Factory, which was...
There was no ordnance factory then.
Wasn't there?
It wasn't built there then. They were starting to build it. That was all about the underground, you know, there. But when they get beyond the gate, it's the earth, you see.
Was there any marked change in your training when, say, McBain left and Jeffries came? You said there were changes in the conditions.
Change, yes,
what was the emphasis then?
Well, I would say it was mainly based on comradeship. Man button set against man. You're taught one for all and all for one, you say, and the bullying was wiped out. and Brigadier Jeffrey, and Colonel Jeffrey, Brigadier Alcott, you know. That was wiped out. And a lot of these ancient, by the NCOs, they weren't old men, and they were by the fellas in the 30s. They were shifted back to where they come from. That's why they were. They'd done the job according to their leg, but the nearly all Territorial Army men had no experience of real light infantry movements. Oh, Jeffrey made a beating. Some were sent away to other places to learn, you know, to learn light infantry work. And that's the volunteers through the Joint Parachute Regiment. About 100 of us went from the Young Soldier Challenge.
Did you volunteer for anything?
Yes, I went and went to Manchester, Green Bay. And you had to do 7 jumps before you won the. I fairly just think of when I went out to yes. And that's the bone of contention with the Polish Regiment now. I got the association meetings. But I've been in the Polish Regiment, you see. And the what they say now is about the Prince of Wales, Prince Charles. He did one jump in tandem with the instructor. He wears a berry and he wears a pirate insignia. He's all lads, you know, a hell of a lot more jumps than he ever did before they even put the insignia up. So, you know, it's not very, we don't think it's fair. And, anyhow, as I say, I think I did 5 jumps. And the bitter blow came. We're all after you return to unit. Because the drone happened to every casualty in the desert. They were due to go there, you see. But someone happened to change the mind, I was left in the day alive. Which I never wanted to leave in the first place. But the foolhardy and bravado what made me join that lot, you know. And the lads are dearly got there on the modern equipment in there, yeah. They had nothing there. I was going with Whitley. You sit over the hole in the floor and you have to put your hands over your face to make it the other side when you went out. You know. Then you duck your half a mile apart. Duck me when you got the Dakota. And the Bristol Bombay, the little thing in transport aircraft then. But the wings used to flap up and down.
Back at School Aycliffe, you'd obviously, as you say, you returned to the battalion. And you talked about being trained on mortars, for example. Which mortars were these?
2-inch mortars. 2-inch.
Did you get onto bigger mortars at all?
When we came to school, that's when we got specialist weapons.
Carriers and so forth, were you trained on
those? Didn't have any of them. Not then. No. We had an old bus and a vehicle called a PU. An old camouflage bus. I made transport. When we marched on airborne defence, what a march. You know, and the bus brought the gear, you know.
How could you take me through the kind of things you were doing on airfield defence?
Just the same things again, just the same drills, exercises all day, building dunnet wire fences, you know, triple dunnet. And one of our lads got a medal at Middle St George. We were taught how to get over the barbed wire fence. A man has to fling himself on the fence, press the wire on his body, and you're the step over him, jump over his back. His lad's called Paddy by Middlesbrough. His Lancaster crushed on the other side of the wire. And it was starting to blaze, you see, and Paddy threw his cell down, and the RAF firefighters went over him. And I think they got 2 minutes before it blew up. But Paddy couldn't get the wire, and his face was all badly burned. It was a Canadian aircraft. And the Canadian dignitary came from London to thank him. We've got a big parade, and this Canadian bloke came and thank him. You know, I've had to make the spirits embodied.
And your battalion, it was the 70th Young Soldiers Battalion, was gained a high reputation.
Oh, indeed. Yeah.
You said that you moved on to become a school of infantry and you moved to Barnacastle. When did this occur?
Oh, I couldn't have got this job, you know.
What was happening then? You were saying, you obviously were getting people...
We were kitted out with the specialist weapons, you know, the signal equipment, cleaners, the 3-inch mortar, carrier platoon, anti-tank platoon, At first we were 2 pounders, and it wasn't then very long. And we were the first infantry unit to get the 6 pounder from the artillery, Royal Artillery, you see. And I was the first platoon sergeant of the first infantry unit to get the 6 pounder. And I went on the course of Catholic. Being right on the course, I had the things of teaching on that. And I qualified with distinguished. And the colonel at the time was filling him, was delighted.
So you've been promoted over the months. Yeah. Was it rapid promotion? Or?
Oh, indeed. It must have been. I'd only been army then. Nearly 2 years, you know. But the same as for everybody, the officers of the ranks, you see. But the Lord Glencoe, Ted Short, I mean, he was a lieutenant when I was at Brunswick. He was a captain in the war, and he's usually just a colonel, brigadier, you know. He's awarded. He jobs a bit, he was a politician.
So in the School of Infantry, you were a sergeant in command of?
Anti-tank platoon.
And this was the 6 pounder, you said?
6 pounder, yes.
Can you tell me about the 6 pounder? What was its qualities, if any?
Well, it had a maximum effective range of 400 yards, eh? 6 pounder, 700 rate, quick fire. The battle that's had about 700 rate, you know. And 6 pound shot, 6 pound charge, and 6 pound shot. As I say, a maximum effective range 400 yards. And all the Germans did was build a bigger tank, right? And later on, I believe the infantry ratio was 17 pounders. But by that time, all campaign and years were all, you know, that's all we got, you know. But the 17 pounders was the answer to the German 88. Why can't we have weapons like them, you know? Despite the fact that we won the campaign, that's far superior weapon.
Can you take me through the firing process of the 6 pounder gun? You know, number of crew and what each one was doing.
Well, there were 5 men, you see. Well, the gun commander would kneel at the side of the gun to observe the fall, observe the shot. Number 2 would fire through the telescopic sight. Number 3, 4, and 5 ammunition. Number 3 put the ammunition in. Number 4 and 5 ammunition in the side. And of course, Eddie Driver went in the back gun.
And there would be a drill
to
do with this. How long would it take, say, between 2 shots, between firing 2 shots, the first one?
Probably 2 seconds. Couldn't even be on the target. But the quick fire, the people just pull the handle on. I mean, it was,
Did you like the gun?
No, I haven't. What's the one, mate? With that photograph in the old day, you see the 6 pounder, they didn't have a muzzle brake on. But they hadn't decided which type to use. Right? And by the time they were off, they still don't think they had decided which type to use. But when I went to the first battalion, I had 6 pounders there. There was no muzzle brakes. And in the photo in the museum, there's no firing mechanism on. Because the storm, who got the score, they wouldn't let me have it out. They had a sign for the firing mechanism. See? It was supposed to be secret, you know. As if the GRs didn't have a better one.
As a sergeant, did you have a certain number of guns under your charge?
Six. I had a little police squad, a lieutenant officer, a little police squad. I had six pounders.
And what was your task within the group of guns?
Just general supervision for the 6 pounders. Keep the men disciplined, clearly saying, clearly we do, sight check. Describing how the gun works, you see, and I remember now that 11 minutes group, about 11 minutes group.
And you say that the Germans are obviously, you should quite rightly say, built a bigger tank,
right,
and it could had no effect upon it, presumably.
Well, we stopped using after Salerno. We used them at Salerno for a short time after that, really. Just don't want them bodies, you know, I suppose. But the Germans didn't have many tanks, really. He had the Tigers now and again, and one of the Tigers in the vicinity called up the Desert Air Force. If they didn't hit him, it'd blow holes on, so he couldn't get out, you know.
So what kind of training then that were you doing in the School of Infantry training? You were having these students in effect coming along,
right.
And were they in effect put into command of to show
them in the ranks? They were in the ranks, these fellows. Now, what they had was a drill of sorts, a game. A game of cards, you see. The Germans, the German soldiers. And we would be in English uniform, you see. And the German would say, I'll put 10 riflemen in. With the various weapons, you see. The Englishman would say, well, I'll put 10 riflemen in. And the weapons were supposed to be equalised at 8 or 9, you see. But they never said, we'd have two Tommy guns in with a 10 riflemen. The German would have two men with machine pistols, you see. The Schmeider, you know. And all these fellows have taken part in that and know what you're saying. Well, she had the dignity, the churches came 3 times, you know. Or any Bevan came twice. And of course, the father of it all, General Paget, the man that he formed the modern army, he came to see us. The colonel at the time, Fillingham, had a direct line to Whitehall.
Looking forward to the actions you were in, was the training. Was it good training?
Oh, indeed.
Prepare you well?
Yes, indeed.
Did you have live ammunition and live firing?
Oh, I fired more ammunition than another unit in the army, including those in action, at Barnacle. About 2 people killed. They were killed by artillery men. Whether they went forward too soon or whether they shelled off short, we don't know. But the shells were in the proper dropping zone, behind the stone wall, you see. And Mr. Prestridge was one, Lieutenant Prestridge. His brother became BBC Morton correspondent, Jim Prestridge. And that was the first time I ever saw blood on charity. And it was quite a queer turn. And the other fellow was still an officer from the battle school. The commander that had gone rolling up in Bonnie, the battle school. And we covered him with a camouflage net. We were the only vehicle that ever had any capital in there. We did go on it after, and we brought them back on the dinner with the bodies. It was the first time I saw blood on car, you know. And, you know, it's really good. Is that what it's like, you know?
And were you constituted as a full battalion with all the various sections
all
and everything?
All the battalion was perfect. Set up. We did long route marches, I mean, from Barnacastle to Kelso. The Jedburgh.
You need to stop en route. What are you doing? Bivouac?
No, I got nothing. Nothing. I live up to my house. Pay stacks. The filling knew where you were. He'd be up there waiting for you now. It's a big stock plan. So you weren't cheating. We were once invited to be enemy for the Lovett Scouts, you see. The most for you was. But past Fort William it was, and we had a merry dance, especially Gillies and what gave getting all sorts, and the little commandos had them all over the place, and we doubled back, and they were in a tented camp. We put all the guy ropes and pushed all the water into the river. We were never invited to be enemy again, but we were never back.
Did your training change as the experiences of the war came through?
No. I couldn't detect any change, you know. You still have to keep yourself regularly fit. Of course, when you went in the line, things completely changed. You know, you didn't do any exercise, you didn't clean, you know, you cleaned your weapons, of course. But when you're on the line now, when you came out, you were promptly blessed.
Were you trained on fire and movement or other ways and methods of moving into the attack?
No. All our attacks were made to be at night time, very, very early in the day. I remember one point, especially on Solidarity, where we attacked the feature. And all the Italian defence were in the home hills. And we attacked the station in daytime and we chopped them. I took a lot of prisoners, mind. And I remember the RAMC. I always thought they were killing the line, but they came in and the marsh took that feature and this lad had the flag. But come on, like a little stand on the red cross on. He led the up that field. And the bottle side on him. And mainly what was the old for us, was a black sergeant, Negro sergeant. He got the German business. And he said, come on here, brother, get the bone. He said, get up and get the bone again.
So coming back to the training school, you have mentioned the fact that students were coming in and you were demonstrating, in effect, what was going on. Yeah. Did you work with other arms, tanks?
Yes, we had tank operation. On the boat was on the exercise, you know, with the Churchills, you know. But I had the hill climbing tracks on, but in all those boats, some of them were very, very steep. But they built a big tank and put a two-pounder on, a pea shooter.
Did you work with the Air Force at all? Were they brought into your schemes?
Well, we didn't see them, but they were there. They had a photograph. But in opening moors, we had to dig in. As anybody knows, if you pull a glass up, the stone, solid stone, all the earth's been eroded some 1,000 years ago. And they cannot dig in. So we had to build stones like it in the front of the air. But you could see them from the air.
Camouflage was an important part of your training.
Well, they held the usual nets, you know, and the brown spear, Essien tape. It does break up the outline, of course. But smoke was the best defense. Smoke.
Was it easy to move through smoke?
No, you were cutting and struggling, but you knew you were safe, my little safe. Right? It was blowing like that, of course, yeah. And then when you fired smoke, all these German defense positions fired on 6 lines. I knew you were coming. But when you went advancing with smoke, you didn't know what part of the sector you were at, you say, and so you more or less needed on top of them before the sea, you say. And,
in your training, attacking, say, defensive position, were you taught infiltration tactics, or was it all frontal?
No, you had to crawl your body, get round, you know, wherever you could, you know. If you could see them, of course, but very, very good see them, you know. They were highly skilled men, the German infantry. Especially the one with the machine gun, you know.
How long were you with the training school? How long were you there?
Born in Kassel, I think it packed up June 43, I think it stopped in June 43.
What happened to you then?
I was sent abroad to North Africa, you know. And the battalion was split up. We were told we were going to fight as a unit. And when we got abroad, we were split up, and that broke a lot of hearts. I mean, a lot of fellas defected for a while, they say, isn't it? Complete betrayal by the army, you know. Complete betrayal. With the dynamite in them. The shame that happened to those lads, what they call us, Lone Man Mutiny. You know, they'll betrayed, badly betrayed them lads.
And you went to which battalion?
The 16th.
Where were they at that point?
They just landed Salerno. We were the first reinforcement after Salerno.
And you were still sergeant?
Yes, I was still a sergeant.
And still with the anti-tank platoon?
No, they were full of them.
So whereabouts in the battalion did you go?
I went to German officer, Freddie Stoddard, who'd been sent before us, you see. But they hooked their stomachs with the sergeants, and I could have got another rifle company. And I wanted to stay with him, so I couldn't go to corporal, see. And they did do one, I mean, I could have still made a sergeant, but I felt that these other sergeants had been in action, you see, and I hadn't. So I went to say, well, I didn't want to say, and the colonel came to say me, you know, he said, but one too many sergeants there. And so I said, we're only officer's man, was very good friends. And Colonel Preston was a very nice man, a very honest man. He was a damn good colonel, so, but, you know, it was something else, so I still went to corporal.
Was this a rifle company?
Yes,
which one was it?
D. D.
And which section or?
One.
Which platoon in D Company were you with? Were you a platoon commander with D Company?
No, Freddie was a platoon commander, the officer. Freddie Stoddard was a platoon commander.
Sorry, I meant section commander.
I was a section.
Which platoon was it?
Like 21 platoon. It's called 21 platoon. Well, 30 of me the bombers are killed. It was the 3rd December the 30th. I was just made of water when I relieved the 2 platoons that I'm still fire, you know. So the 2 platoons that I'm still fire.
Can we just leave that, because we'll come to it as part of the story. You've landed in this new company. The men that made up the company, where were they drawn from?
They were all building trade workers from the northeast. They were all builders. Actually, I knew someone from when I was on the buildings. They were all building trade workers from the northeast. I'm the 16th, I tell you.
And they'd been with the 16th from the beginning in Africa. Were you the only one new to the company?
No, no, there was a few of us. I mean, all took me all of the heavy casualties. They did battle the US Wonderbird Channel, I forgot to tell you, but we got 100 companies in the 70th Middlesex. There was a bunch of great lads. They brought all the company with, including us. And a hell of a lot of charm they were telling. They were all very, very bulky when they joined us. And no matter the days, they were all not like Geordies.
When you joined them at Salerno, were they in action?
Yes,
So where was your very first action with the battalion?
It was called Santa Cruz, I think it was the name of the place, you know, the houses were occupied and affected by the name. But again, I said, we all smoke. You know, the
this was a town, did you say, held by the enemy?
No, a few houses.
So it was street fighting kind of thing, was it?
No, there was only ever one street, you know, it was nearly all mortar machine guns. A bit of rifle play, you know. But they threw a cousin in and they were drunk.
Do you recall the particular action, you know, as it affected yourself? This was your very first time that people had fired at you. Do you recall your feelings and...
Oh, hell, I was terrified. I mean, I didn't hear me. It's all beautiful, you know, I'm not here, you're all the moment in your life, isn't it? It's a terrifying thing, really.
Did it help to be, in effect, in command of a section under fire?
Well, you've got to show willing, in that respect, you've got to show that you're quite willing to go first. Which everybody's glad to let you go.
Any particular memories of that action?
Just seeing the first course with the helmet, you know.
Did you take any prisoners?
Only. No, we didn't have casualties. If we had casualties, we'd make them.
So if you'd if suffered heavily, the enemy suffered heavily as well?
No, indeed, right. But who nearly all fools? Yeah. I should say, oh, fools, Polish fellows, you know. And this was very well for the Germans, you know. Polls, Czechs, everybody were dragged in. That man is like Panda Division, you know. The fellas they took me there, of course.
Your very first action, as I say, in the first time you were under fire, is there not a feeling to duck and hold rather than go on?
Oh, yes, indeed. Anywhere I've gone, I blow out fire all over the place. Behind walls, you know.
And had you heavy casualties in this action yourselves, battalion?
No, we didn't have any casualties. We had smoke fires and actually just yeah, they had to go and show one of the jelly at that particular time. Then you're the one on the way up now getting baited on that.
What date would this be?
What
date would this be?
Yeah, one time in October, Sunday in October.